Joshua 24, look down, if you would, in verse number 14 with me, if you would. Joshua is giving his last words, his final address, his farewell address here. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose hand ye dwell." And you know this very well, right? "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My wife and I made that decision those many years ago when we tied the proverbial knot and got married, and we decided that we were going to live for the Lord. We didn't know exactly what that meant. We just knew that was the right thing to do. And through the years, God has taken us many places, and we have been privileged to serve him in different ministries. And now we're in a little different phase of ministry for our lives. We're trying to figure some things out for the future as far as what the Lord would have. But we're confident that everything is in his hand and in control. And I can tell you that for the last 32 years, I have at least that much experience, that serving the Lord is always the right decision. It's always the right choice. And so we'll talk about choices this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for Brother Jerry and for Miss Cheryl. We do pray you bless them. And Lord, I know what that trip's like. I pray you'd give them some sleep and rest and help them as they minister, continue to do so. Father, for the church here today at Blessed Hope here in Jasonville, Father, I pray you'd meet with us. Father, I pray you would be pleased to meet with us, that the Spirit of God would fill this place, upstairs, downstairs, next door, whatever's going on every bus and every classroom, every teacher, nursery, and everything that happens today. May it bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. For we realize and know that if we do all these things and you do not receive the glory, then it's all in vain. And so, Father, I pray that you help us with that, and help us, Lord. We're just mere humans. We live in a body of flesh, and we see through a glass darkly, and there's so many things that we do not understand, but we know that you are holding all things together and that all things are under your control. And so, Father, I pray this morning you give us wisdom as we seek to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Joshua is encouraging the people, I think somewhat like a pastor would encourage his folks. He's encouraging the people to make good decisions. You ever heard your pastor preach something like that? My dad is probably famous for making this statement or a series of statements about this. He says that teenagers, you know, they live about 7 years as a teenager. You live your whole teenage years from 13 to 20. And oftentimes you make decisions during that time period that will affect the next 60 years of your life, not realizing the impact of it when you're young. And, you know, every day as we live, no matter if we're a teenager or if we are senior citizens, and I'm not one of those yet. I am a pawpaw. And I don't know what he meant about the senior adults. I'm thinking, you know, you guys are like in 12th grade or something. That's what I'm thinking here. But I am getting the AARP stuff in the mail. I didn't ask for it, but I'm still getting it, you know. So there's all that. But whether we're teens or whether we're seniors, we still have a lot of choices to make in this life until we come into the presence of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You made a decision if you were going to wear a red necktie or a blue necktie or a red shirt or a white shirt. I had to make a choice this morning. My wife made it for me, actually. I said, amen. I said, blue shirt or white shirt. She said, white shirt for the morning, blue shirt for the night. I'm like, okay, I'll go with it. So, you know, that's what we did. But I was thinking, I knew I should have wore that blue one. But anyhow, we make decisions. We either listen to our wives or we don't listen to our wives. And we've learned after 32 years, if you don't listen, you pay the price. And so it's not worth it. So we went with the white shirt. Amen. Can I get a witness right there? And so we have a lot of decisions that we make every day. You're going to make decisions this morning whether you're going to tune into the Word of God or if you're going to give into your flesh and just kind of settle in that seat and, you know, just endure it until it's over with. You're going to make a decision as to what you're going to eat. You're going to make a decision whether you eat or you don't eat. You're going to make a decision whether you take a nap or don't take a nap, or whether you have an activity for the afternoon or you don't have activity or whatever. There's going to be decisions all the time that you're making. And much of our present life has been settled by our past decisions. We have certain infirmities that we deal with. In some cases, it's a result of a dumb decision we made years ago. About last year, I was helping my son work on a house that he bought, and we were remodeling it. And all the windows in the house were pretty good and seemed to operate just fine. And one of the windows, I didn't realize the springs or whatever was involved there, the weights and springs were broke. And so in the top part. And so when I undid the little latches there for the window, the top part came just slammed down on my finger. And I mean, you know, it was bad. It was bad. Blood everywhere. Ambulances were coming. I'm kidding. But it's pain. You know, but still now that is the most tender finger on my body. Even so, that was about a year ago. And because, you know, a decision made to open those. I didn't know the consequences that were going to take place. Sometimes life's like that, isn't it? Things happen to us that we don't realize are going to happen to us. And sometimes it's just life. It's just part of, you know, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's filled with sin, and so we have problems. Other times it's because we choose the evil and not the good. What was it said about the Lord Jesus Christ in the prophecy? It said that he would know to choose the evil and not the good. He would know to choose the good and not the evil. Well, I got that messed up. And go back to John chapter 3, would you? But he would choose the good and not the evil. And so many times we make that mistake. We choose the evil instead of the good. And oftentimes we don't realize it or see it as evil. It's just something that our flesh desires, that our flesh wants. You know, I don't think Eve saw it as evil. Boy, this will really make God mad. Do you think that's the way she was thinking? I don't think she was thinking that way. But she saw that it was good, that it was pleasant, and it appealed to her, and she made the decision. And what happened? It damned the entire world, didn't it? It brought death and darkness and destruction into God's paradise. And so God wants us, now that we are living with the results of her decision, he wants us to learn from that, because many of the present circumstances we find ourselves in are the results of past decisions, either that we made or that others made for us, and it had an impact on us. And so tomorrow will very much be determined by the decisions that are made today. When I say tomorrow, I don't necessarily mean Monday. It could be the rest of 2019. It could be 2020. And it could be the future, okay? And so it will be determined by the decisions that we make today. So how do we make wise choices? And Joshua basically says, you have to make a choice. Please choose what's most important. Please choose what's most important. You know, most people, when they make a decision that alters their life, that changes their life drastically, it usually happens pretty fast. It usually happens pretty fast. And many times they say, well, I just made the decision in the moment. You heard people say something like that, you know, well, I was just in the moment, and I just did what was in the moment. And what they're saying is, I made a decision based upon the pressure of the circumstances. I made a decision based upon the pressure of the circumstances. And what happens is those circumstances create a crisis. And oftentimes we make the decision that is the easiest or maybe the most logical decision based on that moment. But there's a fallacy in that thinking, isn't there? There's a fallacy. You see, if we will learn to prepare ourselves, if we'll learn to walk with the Lord, if we will be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, Then, when we are presented with those in-the-moment decisions, we'll have a foundation to stand on from whence to make our decisions that will help us to go in the right direction. You follow what I'm saying? And so many people they're Christians, they're saved, they're born again. They don't hate God. They're not trying to offend God. They're not trying to live wickedly or in an evil way. But they're just not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. They're just not walking with the Lord. They're not making the wisest of all decisions, and that is to walk with God on a daily basis so that when those decisions come, we are led and influenced by the Spirit over being led and influenced by the flesh. How do we make the best choices in the worst of times? You know, there'll be times where you've got to make a decision. I go left or I go right, but I can't stay in the intersection. You know what I mean?
Right.
And sometimes, you know, I'm following that little GPS, and it's telling me, you know, to turn right on such and such street, and I choose to ignore it because I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going because I'm a man. Amen? And a man don't need no directions. So I changed the voice on that to a man's voice because I don't need two women in the car telling me what to do. I'm just saying.
Come on.
Protect me, Sister Donna. Keep me safe. But you know, you find yourself sometimes, you know, driving a car is a good example. You know, people drive like idiots. Have you noticed? You know, they're doing that, you know, but when they're not doing that, they're not following the rules.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to stop at the stop sign, you know. You're supposed to turn right at the stoplight after you've stopped, after you've looked both ways, all that kind of stuff, you know. They're not following the rules. And so it's forcing us to drive more defensively. You know what I'm talking about? How many times vehicles were swerving in front of me on the way up here yesterday, you know, on a two-lane highway because of distracted drivers. And I can't afford to be distracted when I'm in traffic. Now, if I'm not in traffic, I can text all I want. But anyway, I'm just teasing. I'm just kidding. Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. Okay, so, you know, we have to drive more defensively, and we have to make the decision to be more aware of our surroundings. You say, well, I'm a good driver. It's not about being a good driver. It's about being a defensive driver. It's about being an aware driver. It's about not only being careful about what you're doing, but paying attention to what others around you are doing.
Right.
Isn't that the way it is in life too? Now, I can't control what other people are doing. I can't pull up to that guy and say, hey, you dummy, stop texting and swerving all over the road. You know, you're going to kill somebody, and that somebody might be me. You know, I can't change his behavior, but I can back up. I can give space between him and me. I can separate a little bit. I don't hate him.
Right.
I don't want to kill him.
Right.
A little bit. I don't want to kill him, but I can make that separation so that his foolishness doesn't harm me and my loved ones. Follow what I'm saying? And so God wants us to make good choices. And it's easy to make good choices when things are going good and things are going our way. But it's different when we're in bad times. And oftentimes it's when we're in bad times we make bad decisions because of the pressure. Because of the pressure around us, because of the flow of traffic around us. You know, God says in Colossians chapter 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You know, what he's going after here is he wants us in the time that we come into the world, in the time that we come into eternal life, that we know Christ as our Savior, he wants us to be molded and made over in his image until the time when that is fully and completely realized, when we are glorified in his presence, right? We call that being justified. We get saved and regenerated, and then we're in a process of sanctification, right? It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we're everything we ought to be all the time, but we're working on it. We're growing in grace. We're being sanctified so that when we get to heaven, we fit in. It's not so hard to make us fit in. You follow what I'm saying? And a lot of folks are making bad decisions in life along the way because they're letting their flesh determine those things instead of the Spirit. And when they get to heaven, it's going to take a lot of remaking to get them ready. You know what I'm saying? And so if we continue in the faith and we're grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, then it will help us to make the right decisions and help us to make good choices that will lead us to a full and a happy life. Now, in 32 years of marriage, can I tell you that I've always made the right decision for our family every time? Well, yes. No. Of course not. Made mistakes. Made decisions. I've bought the wrong car before, you know, and I haven't ever forgotten it. No, I'm teasing. We've done, you know, things along the way and made little decisions here and there, and a good wife has been good not to remind me. Amen. But we have worked our way through some things in 32 years. Not always made the best decisions, but we have a good track record of making more good decisions than bad. And I don't think I'm being proud when I say that, because I don't think we'd still be married if we had lived a life of making bad decisions. You follow me? You say, well, you know, things just worked out for you. No, things don't just work out. You have to work them out. You know, marriage is work. Raising children is work. Raising grandchildren is wonderful for an hour. It's great. Love having Reagan over for an hour. Best part about grandkids is headlights and taillights. See them coming and going. You know, it's the best part of it, you know. You can look back. Yeah, we can see mistakes that we made. We can also see making decisions in the spirit of cooperating together with the Holy Spirit in our home. Follow what I'm saying?
Right.
Cooperating with the Holy Spirit in our home. Now, we all have free wills, and we fail, and we have some bad decisions we've made over the years. But thank God, to go, you know, the Christian life is not like, you know, going from here to here. It's kind of like this, isn't it? You know, it's getting off track, getting back off track, getting off track, getting back off track, getting off track, getting back on track. But keep going in the right direction. Keep going in the right direction. Now, we have to get the Word of God settled and established in our hearts. Get the truth of the Word of God that it is settled in our hearts, so that when the crisis comes, when the big decision comes, then we're not tempted to take the easy way out or to feed the hunger of the flesh. Let me illustrate this like this. Wife calls me up or texts me. I need you to stop by Kroger and I need you to get something for supper. Just get some chicken and get some potatoes and get some asparagus and get some salad. I'm like, okay, I got it. So I get to the store and I've got $25 in my pocket. That's what I got. And so I get my cart. And the problem is, she has called me and she has relayed information to me at a time in which I'm hungry. Right. And I'm going down the aisle, Cocoa Puffs, yes. Ice cream.
Come on.
You know, I got the chicken, I got the potatoes, I got the asparagus, and I've got the salad, but I've also got the Dr. Pepper. And I've got the the frozen Prairie Farms devil's food cake. You know, somebody said that was because I wasn't no angel, but nonetheless. And so I got all this stuff in my cart. Some of it I don't even know if I need it, but I just see it, and man, it looks good, and I want it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But here's the deal. Eventually, I got to get to the checkout, and I got to pay for what's in my cart. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I get up to the checkout, and I'm like, I only got $25 in my pocket. What am I going to do? Well, I don't need that, don't need that, don't need that, don't need that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if when we get to checkout in heaven, we could say, oh, God, hey, wait a minute. I know I really didn't need that, so I'm going to take this out. I'm not going to pay for it. I'm going to take this out, I'm going to take this out, I'm going to take this out, I'm going to take this out. It doesn't work that way, does it? Whatever goes in the cart, we're going to get to the checkout someday. Huh? We're going to get to the checkout, we're going to die, and God's going to say, wait a minute, we're going to take a look in your cart. What's that doing in there? What is that doing in there? And what is that doing in there? What is that doing in there? And I told you not to get that. You see, if I go to the grocery store when I'm hungry, then my flesh makes decisions, not my brain.
Right.
All right? We need to hunger and thirst after the right things in life. When we face the world, we don't need to go into the world hungry, because we have filled up on the Word of God. We are full and we are satisfied. We're satisfied with God's provision. And when we're satisfied with God's provision, we go along through life and the devil says, hey, you want some of this? No, not interested. You want some of that? No, don't need it. Don't need it. I'm going to stick with the milk and the bread and the meat and the vegetables of the Word of God. I don't need all that other stuff. Keep it out of my cart. And so, making good decisions, it really just goes back, doesn't it? It always goes back to filling up on the Word of God. It always goes back to making sure that you make your choices when you're full and not when you're hungry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You don't want to get to the judgment seat and God say, what is that doing in your cart? It doesn't belong there. It doesn't belong there. I think probably the best illustration of this in the Old Testament is old Esau, And Esau made a decision when he was hungry, didn't he? He says, give me something to eat for lest I die. I mean, exaggerating, just like a hunter, Brother Jerry sends me these pictures of these deer that some other dude killed in Colorado that he posts and pasted, but it's got looks like a tree, trunk coming out of his head. And he's like, yeah, I killed this last week. No, you didn't. But anyway, and then I send him mine, about like that. But I don't know what that had to do with anything, but I was going to, he's a hunter. He was exaggerating. That's right. Thanks for the help, folks. I appreciate it. Up here having that senior moment. But he was hungry, and what did he do? He made an eternal decision in a moment of hunger. He fed his flesh. He let his flesh make his decisions for him. And really, in essence, made the same mistake that Eve did, didn't he? And he sold his birthright in a moment. Circumstances said, you're going to die if you don't get something to eat. I'm starving to death. I'm starving. I'm hungry. And he made an eternal decision because he gave in to his flesh and not counting the cost. So the admonition for Sunday school this morning, make good decisions. How do you make good decisions? Stay in tune with the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit of God be leading you. you know, just make sure that you are filled up on the Word of God and you have no hunger for the things that this world offers, that the devil would present to you in a circumstance that would lead you to make a bad decision that would adversely affect you and your kids and your grandkids. Because it ain't all about us. Boy, and the older we get, the more we start to realize that, isn't it? And how many of us go back and make a few decisions, a few changes if we could? We can't. It's in the cart. It's in the cart, and we got to deal with it. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And thank God for that love covereth a multitude of sins.
Amen.
Amen? Father, we thank you for the truth of the Word of God this morning. Father, I pray you'd help us as we continue through the morning, the preaching hour, and the time of hearing the Word of God again. But this morning, I pray that this truth would not just be another truth that we've heard, but that we would find a way to meditate on it, to file it away, so that this week we'll fill up on this. And I'm sure there's some big decisions that have to be made by these folks, perhaps, that they don't even realize that are coming this week. And Lord, I know that I want to make the right decisions for my wife, for my kids, for my granddaughter. I want to make the right decisions, and I'm sure they do too. And Father, I pray we would choose this day to serve the Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and pray these things. Amen.